You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. What's happening? HR Happy Hour. I think this is show 251.
I think you're right. 251 here live in New York City.
My name's Steve Bowes.
And Trish McFarland.
How are you,
here
Trish?
With you. I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
I'm doing well. I have a blue moon in hand. It's a true HR Happy Hour, which does not happen that often.
It is a true happy hour. We are at a fine establishment in the Times Square area of Manhattan called
the Times Square Pub.
Old Lenny's Times Square Pub,
that's
as a matter
right.
of fact. Very traditional Irish.
That's right. I'm having a full Irish breakfast as we speak and record this, so...
Yes, and Guinness is all around, or at least for me.
For you.
But why are we here in New York City, Trish, on this fine, fine summer day?
Well, we are here for Inforum 2016, and if you're not familiar with Inforum, it is the user event put on by Infor, so definitely check them out at infor.com. They are doing great things in the space. They've been a little bit under the radar, I think, for a number of years, especially in the HCM space.
Sure.
Obviously not when it comes to all of the other business technology. They're a world leader when it comes to the other aspects. But specifically with regard to HCM, they have made such great strides in this last year to 2 years. And so coming here today is just nothing but fun and learning, and it's been a great experience so far. So we're about halfway through Inforum. And thought we would do a little podcast to talk about some of the themes we're hearing, and then also the fact that you were one of the keynotes today.
As you were as well, Trish.
I was the follow-up to the keynote, unless you were opening for me. Were you opening
for
me?
I was sorry opening act. I was like when Whitesnake opened up for Van Halen in like 83.
I get to be Van Halen. Okay,
yeah.
I'm good with that.
I was sort of that.
That's
I was like,
good.
I had like one hit on MTV, but not really too well-known besides that. You were the headliner. You were the big
You think I'm... No, it was actually, in all honesty, it was the other way around. However, it was really good because I like to see that Infor is really focusing a big chunk of their Inforum day on HCM and sort of the advancements in the future of work. So it wasn't just for HR practitioners. It was actually geared toward all levels of management throughout the business and about how to be better at your people practices and obviously using technology to transform your business. And so why don't you talk a little bit about what you discussed in your presentation?
Yeah, I can, Trish. Thank you. So I had a really interesting topic today, which is around transformation and disruption. And from the context of how technology-driven transformation and disruption, and I know these words get tossed around so much or maybe a little tired of hearing them, but you know what? I don't care. You're going to listen to them anyway. How these things are impacting people practices, specifically finding talent, developing talent, engaging with talent, and really giving your organization the tools that it needs to succeed in a really, really tight talent market. So, and I said it in a context which I thought was interesting and fun of, well, let's pick 10 or 12 of the most disruptive technologies in our personal lives that have emerged in the last 10 years or so. So things like the iPhone, things like Facebook, things like Uber, things like Stitch Fix, one of your favorites, Trish, things like Tesla, and even the latest craze, right, that's sweeping the country, for sure, Pokemon Go.
That's right.
I had a Pokemon Go reference in my slides today. But talking about how these kinds of trends fit in the bigger picture of organizational disruption, the relationship with talent, and the ability of organizations to compete. So that's what I talked about today. And we can talk about some specific things as well, but that was my sort of 50,000-foot speech today.
Right. And I think it really went over well because it put everything into perspective, and it really tied into what I was talking about, which was sort of taking those consumer expectations that we have, and that we've not just that we have, but that we've all really embedded in the way of life. Every single app that you put up there, I think today, it was like you can see the people nodding, or maybe not from the big stage, but
right.
But being in the audience, you know, you can see people nodding in agreement that these were tools that they are very familiar with, they use all the time. And so mine revolved a little bit more around the personal side of how to use those within your organization and how that's going to change business. And I think that, you know, we've talked before in other presentations or even on the show about will work look very similar and just incrementally different than what it looks like today, or will it look drastically different? And I think we're landing more on the drastically different side.
Yeah.
Even in your example of Pokemon Go, where in just the last 6 days,
right,
it's made a huge impact on the way people are behaving across the world. I mean, it's a huge craze.
Yeah.
So business is no different, really. If you put in the right technology, you really could get major adoption that quick.
And I made sure when I talked about some of these tools, and specifically Pokemon Go, right, which I had to update my slides to include in the last couple of days, like, it's easy to think of these things as not really having meaning to our organizations or to our industries, right? You know, we're a manufacturing company in the Midwest, or we're a healthcare provider in the Southeast, and what does Pokemon Go have to do with any of this? Well, it really speaks to the incredibly accelerating pace of change, the willingness of people, regular people like you and me and all your employees, to adopt new technologies, and the tremendous value that can be untapped in a really, really short time by these kinds of disruptive technologies. So let me give you the rest of my Pokemon Go story,
oh, sure,
which I told at Infor this morning. Pokemon Go launched in the United States on July 6th. We're recording this on July 12th. In 6 days, right, as we speak, Pokemon Go is installed on more Android phones than the apps Twitter or Tinder, and the users of Pokemon Go are spending more time in the app on average than the users of Instagram and Snapchat. Wasn't last week Snapchat the thing?
It was the thing.
But it was the thing. And so that quickly, I'm not saying this is the end of Snapchat or anything like that, or Twitter, Tinder, any of those things, but all of a sudden, in the space of 1 week, this disruptive app emerges and sort of transforms how people are engaging with their technology. But why it's important? The market value of Nintendo, who owns the Pokemon franchise and the company and the app and all that, has gone up anywhere between, I haven't checked the stock market today, anywhere between the value of Nintendo increased anywhere between $7.5 billion and $9 billion.
Right,
this is in 6 days. And to me, what speaks about transformation more than that?
Right. Well, and I think, too, when you think about the HR technology, and we're always talking about having, you know, mobile technologies or solutions that are that intuitive, so that someone will literally just download it onto their phone and be able to start using it immediately. Even if you had just a fraction of that type of user adoption in your organization, it equates to big dollars. It equates to big savings in time, increased productivity potentially. I mean, I think the business implications from looking at something like Pokemon Go, it really does apply to the average business. Whether you're here in the U.S. or you're over in the U.K. or you're in Asia, I mean, I think it's going to apply globally. So actually, it was really timely that you threw that in there. And I think, again, people have been walking around Times Square and
Central Park, yeah,
right, with their noses buried in their phones for a much different reason than maybe a week ago. But I think the other thing, too, that when you talked about that specifically that struck me is, if I were one of the solution providers like Infor, I'd be really encouraged that there is still plenty of room. Sometimes we feel like the space is so oversaturated in certain types of technologies, but you really do have the opportunity to create something out of left field that's so completely disruptive to an entire way of people behaving. So if you flip that to the workforce side, there is still so much potential. I would challenge that, you know, a lot of what Infor is doing, like with their talent science, to me falls into that category. It's a little cutting edge right now for your average mainstream HR person. However, if that takes hold, it could just go, I mean, to the nth degree.
I want to ask you about that talent science in particular in 1 second, especially in
sure.
the context of one of the customer success stories we
oh,
heard
sure.
today.
Absolutely.
But the other interesting thing I'll just throw out there on the Pokemon Go, you mentioned that there's still the opportunity for really transformative and disruptive change. Now, we know most people dislike change.
Right. Well, or
people,
do they?
Most people don't like to be changed, maybe. That's a better way to say it, when someone else is sort of proscribing them to change. But in the world, another stat I saw recently was that just before Pokemon Go,
right,
the average smartphone user in the last 30 days had downloaded how many new apps, would you say?
3.
0.
Really?
0. Due to rounding. Obviously, it's more than
okay.
0. But
right.
due to the average smartphone
so
user in the last
really
month,
been...
no, had downloaded nothing new. And if you think about your life, often, many of our lives, okay. right? At least before the
so
latest.
So getting into the habit and then sticking with it, right?
Well,
but whatever you have. Whatever
that
you're
saying, we're in a world where people have kind of stumbled on the 5 apps that they like the most. And
well, I can see that.
They're not looking for anything new. And they and there are amazing things out there, right? And I talked about some of them today, like Yelp and Khan Academy and Uber
right.
and all
Absolutely.
These disruptive technologies. But we've kind of plateaued, right? And if you read a lot of the tech press, which I do, some were writing articles like, well, the era of apps is over. Now it's chatbots and messenger chats
right.
and all that. And all of a sudden, Pokemon Go comes out of nowhere.
I think it's beautiful.
And now, if I walk out of the door here on 45th Street, I bet that within 10 minutes I'll find half a dozen
people
playing Pokemon Go.
I'll tell you what, as we're sitting here talking, I'm going to pull it up because I am an early adopter. Only because my 12-year-old daughter called me and berated me and texted me pictures of, apparently, for anyone who is into Pokemon Go, as I was not, some of the... Can you hear it starting up?
That is pretty cool.
Some of the most powerful Pokemon are located here in Times Square. And so it's sort of a thing, I mean, in the whole country. So this is the place to be. So, you know, my daughter was like, oh my gosh, you have to...
We may need to take a little stroll outside then after lunch.
But so last night, I'm sitting in my hotel room, just barely off Times Square, and I captured 5 in my hotel room, sitting in bed. Now, that's creepy that these little Pokemon are in my room.
A little creepy.
But they were. So, anyway.
They are cute, though, most of them.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now. I don't see any in the pub that we're in at the moment, but we will...
It's a matter of time only, yeah.
Right. One could come in and pop up. So we'll keep an eye on Pokemon Go. But, yeah, I guess the point is that for me, if I were... You know, if I'm a business leader and I'm thinking about really trying to transform my business, and again, we use these words all the time, you know, with technology, and it gets a little stagnant. To me, Pokemon Go almost gives you, hope that, oh my gosh, it really can transform. You really still can do this. And
yeah.
It's possible for everyone.
And I guess another thing I throw out there, too, is just deciding you don't like the terminology doesn't mean the reality has changed. Right?
That's true.
You can decide, oh, well, I'm not going to use the word disruptive anymore, or I'm not going to use the word transformative anymore.
Right.
That doesn't mean that there aren't really impressive and intense and dynamic technology-driven drivers that are just, by their very nature, going to impact your organization, your workers, and
right.
how you engage with them. So you mentioned the Infor talent science stuff.
Right.
A second ago. Earlier today at the Infor event, one of the sort of customer recognition sections, which is really interesting, highlighted one customer. It was a mattress company, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Right? I don't know how much you know about the case study, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but I thought it was a really interesting case study that by just... and why it was interesting was they had applied some really modern and scientific approaches to talent assessment,
right.
talent evaluation, hiring, and basically the talent acquisition process. And it resulted in some pretty impressive HR metrics, like, you know, reduced cost to hire, reduced retention, increased retention, reduced turnover. But the interesting part of this, and this is a long story short here, why I thought it was interesting, was they've been tying that pretty directly to financial measures.
Yes.
Like increased sales and increased profitability at the locations, the mattress companies, which
right.
I thought is really important and really the key for any of these kind of how these modern technologies are going to improve people practices. It's not really about just improving people practices, right? It's about improving business outcomes.
Right. Well, and I think we haven't heard too much about that. You know, we've spent the last 2 years at least talking about how to use predictive analytics and how to get these, you know, beautiful reports, and that's certainly an important part of it. But I feel like one of the things that's still a little bit untapped, especially in the analyst world, which I think you and I were talking about today, is that you really have to be able to tell a story with that data. With that, it's not enough just to have that prediction. So when I look at a solution that Infor is doing with their HCM component of the Cloud Suite, when you look at the talent science aspect and being able to not only use that to predict the type of hires you're making and whether or not they have a good fit to the organization on many levels,
mm-hmm.
it's then about starting to predict that performance and how they will perform on the long term. And that doesn't mean you're flagging someone. I think with my HR hat on, I was thinking that might mean you're flagging someone as a poor performer right out of the gate and
right.
setting them up for failure. What I've learned in the last few months of really working with that team and talking with them is that it's way beyond that. It's not about getting rid of someone necessarily. I mean, that could be the outcome if someone isn't a good performer, of course. But it's really more about being able to prescribe how someone's behaviors should work within a certain team or project And then if that's not the right fit, it's figuring out where else in the organization they might add more value and that they might be a better fit. And so it's more about the movement of your workforce, which then ties into the workforce planning components. So for me, I feel like there's been this major shift of, instead of just talking about trends, it's about now making them real,
right,
for the real business owner, so that you are then, to your point, getting to seeing actual financial impact on the bottom line because you've spent time and effort and attention and a little bit of money on assessments up front or on managing your workforce up front. It's not something you're talking about sort of like in the future.
Right.
It's here. It's here right now, which is really cool. And I, the last thing I'll just say, and only because you and I had the opportunity to meet with some of the people from Hook and Loop, which is the internal design firm at Infor, which is a whole different approach. They want to make technology beautiful. And when we talked with the Hook and Loop team, it's about making it to where, kind of back to this idea of the apps that you mentioned in your presentation, it's something that it doesn't have to have so many features,
right,
that it's too much, right? It just has to look good. It has to be simple, usable, so that people will actually desire to use it. And so I think that's a little different approach than maybe some of the other companies in the HCM space are taking right now. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Quick reset, HR Happy Hour. 251, I think.
That's right. I think it's 251.
From Inforum in New York City, from the remote location of Aluni's at Times Square.
Well, should we say it's because we're having a late breakfast? Because
it is a late breakfast.
I think we both have a thing where when we're speaking on stage, especially, can I tell you, let's talk about that room. That was the, I'm sorry, I never get nervous. Never in my whole life. I've been speaking since I was in fifth grade in front of people. I think that's the first time. I didn't actually get butterflies in my stomach, but pretty close. I was a little, the room was huge. The turnout here, you know, close to 8,000 people. It's a big event.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We
didn't eat.
Good crap. No food, right?
No food. We didn't want to get sick on stage, right?
No food was consumed prior to the session this morning, so we are catching up with a late lunch. So the last thing I think I wanted to talk about, at least this morning, and maybe we can talk about this, and we can continue here at Aluni's on the happy hour as long as we want, Trish, until I have to leave for the airport.
Right, getting out of here.
Is, so in this world of modern, advanced, powerful, dynamically changing technology, how do HR folks sort of figure out, or at least think about, conceptualize, how to prioritize the kinds of technologies that may be of interest to them and their organizations? Like, sort of, where do you start, right? And that's a question,
right,
I think, that comes up all the time, right? And so I sort of had three areas that I thought about and tried to talk about some this morning. I'm going to try to remember them all now, that sort of help frame your decision-making process,
okay,
around what, where to sort of chase these trends or chase technologies. And so the first one is around removing organizational barriers. Removing those things or improving those processes or eliminating redundant processes or just counterintuitive processes that get in the way of employees doing their best work.
Right.
So convoluted approval processes or weird workflows that send a document for review by way more people that need to review it, or antiquated systems that don't speak to each other, right? So information in system A has to be entered into system B. That entire category of things that, how do I make people's jobs easier? Right, so that they can be more effective. I think that's one category. So if I'm thinking about technology, one of the areas I'm looking in is, where can we reduce the friction? Where can we reduce or eliminate the barriers? I think that's one kind of area, right? I think the second area is around service, particularly from an HR organization, who in most organizations still is a service provider, right, to the business. So what can we do in an HR organization to improve our service level? How can we reduce the number and complexity of questions? How can we provide better answers? How can we better arm our employees with the information they need to make their decisions in the areas that are in our domain, that HR domain. So it's benefits or retirement or how to invest or how to wellness and well-being, right? Which is so.
Can I give you a simple answer?
Please, go ahead.
So I think the one thing I would just say, and this is because of living it and having to fight this battle myself when I was a practitioner, you have to steer clear of all the customization when you purchase technology. And that's not just HR technology, any technology. The more customization you put into it to adapt to an antiquated process you already have in place for the sake of keeping your process, you're really doing a disservice to your organization.
Right.
Because when it does not matter which provider that I talk with in our industry, they are spending far more time with far more clients thinking about process than you as a sole practitioner could ever spend in your organization. And so use that knowledge, no matter who you're working with, right? And use their experience. If they say, we've built out this part of the hiring process or this part of the performance process in a certain way, there's a reason for that. They've put time and thought and money and research development dollars into that. So that would be my one thing. I mean, I think that's where, and that's not an HR issue, that's a business issue.
Yeah.
You know, where we, you know, you've got to push back on the CEO who wants the report to look the same way it's looked for the last 10 years. Well, the last 10 years is the reason you're switching to a different system, right? It's antiquated. So that's probably the easiest step that someone can take.
Let me give you number three.
Okay.
I said there were three.
Let's go to number three.
Right. Number three, in this sort of matrix, technologies that help you as HR leaders create differentiated or personalized and amazing experiences. These experiences could be for your employees, could be for your candidates, could be for your ex-employees, could be for your partners, whomever, right, contractors. But the point being is this, we're expecting so much more in personalized, tailored, technology created just for us. Technology that understands us. I love Stitch Fix, for
machine
example,
learning. I mean,
which you know better than anybody, right? Why is that a great experience for you as a customer of Stitch Fix?
Well, it's just with each time that you use your stylist at Stitch Fix, they track and follow what you like. They track and follow what you keep and what you return. They track and follow what sizes work and what styles work. And they use that learning every single time to make that next delivery a better experience in hopes that you will keep more items. And so I think when you start. For me, when I think about not just that example, but you know, some of the customer examples that inform so far, where maybe again with the HR hat on, you seem a little resistant to thinking about the predictive side of people. But really, I mean, when you think about the fact that we can take large amounts of data on shipping goods from one country
right.
to another. Charles Phillips talked about that yesterday, for example, about all of the different, you know, ways that Infor is helping these really enormous clients in terms of, you know, global trade. They can learn from that. And I think Duncan Angrove also touched on that with his speech. It's all around being able to take large amounts of data and then make true predictions on it. And so if we can do it about things like movement of goods
right.
and services, right? Then why can't we do that about people? I am probably starting to come around when it comes to thinking like that. And you want to think that we are all so unique, though, that you know you can't do that. But I guess the other thing I would think about, too, in your last comment there was we spend so much time in HR trying to make sure everyone is treated the same. And we've sort of ingrained that in people over the last 30 years where HR has really come to be a profession. Having been in HR, and I say this with all respect to all HR people, it's like we need to let that go a little bit. Because when you have a good candidate, when you have a really good high-level performer in your organization, it's okay to give them a little more attention or a little more education or a little more whatever it is they need. Just because you need to give it differently to different people does not mean you're discriminating necessarily. You just have to be careful about that. And so I think what I'm hoping is that with some of these technologies that are coming into play about predicting behaviors, maybe that's, to me, that's what I would hope the outcome is, that you really can give your employees a unique, personalized experience without breaking a law, right?
Right.
But actually retaining them longer because that experience is unique. They feel special, they feel wanted and valued. And that today, that's what we're missing. That's why people leave your company.
Amen, sister. Preach.
There you go.
Preach.
How was that?
That was really, that was awesome.
Was that good?
Fun.
You should record that.
I'm glad. Great. Are we recording this? So that's my three, though. Those are my three big things. When you're evaluating mm-hmm. modern technology solutions and disruptive technology solutions for your organization, think about the three categories. How do I reduce the barriers in my organization to allow people to succeed? How do I improve my customer service level as an HR service delivery organization? And three, how do I create personalized, differentiated, and amazingly wonderful experiences for my constituents? If the technology hits all three of those boxes, you win. If it hits two, you win. It better hit at least one, or you shouldn't consider it.
There you go.
That's it. I'm out.
You're out.
I'm
good
out.
Job. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. And we will be back, hopefully, next week from a more stable, maybe more quiet location, right? But anyway, this has been fun. Thank you, Steve-O's, for coming to Inforum. And
thank you, Trish McFarland.
So,
thanks to everyone at Infor for being such great hosts this week.
That's right. And also, special thank you to our sponsor, Virgin Pulse.
Virgin Pulse, of course.
Who makes this all possible.
Thank you, Virgin
we
Pulse.
We appreciate everything they're doing. Please check them out on their website today.
www.virginpulse.com. Our website, www.h3hr.com. Subscribe. Do all the things. Listen to every show. We'll see you next time. I'll see you on Pokemon Go. This is Steve Bowes. We're Trish McFarland. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.